Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
Hi, this is Jen Amadeo, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Yes, so thank you to Jen Amadeo, who has introduced the Tennis Podcast today and is one of our Kickstarter backers for 2019. One of the reasons why we're able to produce this many shows. And we can't thank all of you enough who've supported us over the last year. Nearly 130 shows we've produced now. I think it will be that many by the time we finish the year. And the goal is to produce just as many next year if we can, do as many exciting things as we possibly can with the show. And so our Kickstarter will begin on December the 2nd in just a couple of weeks' time. Now, you can hear an announcement in the background there in Madrid, because that's where Matt Roberts is. In the middle of the night, Matt. It has been a long, old day for you. How's it going?
Yes, that was just to announce that Australia are coming into press, which is not even the last thing that will be happening tonight, because there's still a doubles match to go. As I come to you, it is 10 past midnight. That will be on court in 10 minutes. And it's all a little bit bonkers. But it's very Spain, very Madrid. And if there's one city where you can get away with it, it probably is this one. But yes, I'm having to slightly keep my voice down because I'm in the media centre, don't want to disturb anyone, but I am absolutely buzzing, having just been on court for Nadal.
You were on court with Nadal?
I was, yes.
That's a bit of a
turn-up.
Yes,
he beat me in two.
Yeah, you looked remarkably like Karen Achanov. Just to be clear, what time did you get there today?
I got on site about 10:30 this morning.
10:30?
Yeah.
So just the 14 hours ago. And he still hasn't finished yet. The doubles is about to start. It's 1-1 between Spain and Russia. And then once that's all done, Matt will leave. And it's about an hour into his hotel. So he'll be there about 4 a.m. Fantastic.
And it's an early start tomorrow with GB on at 11.
Yes, now we're talking. Brilliant. Right. This match, let's start with it, the one you're watching right now. We've decided we have to record now because it's just going on so late. It's been proper Davis Cup tonight, hasn't it, in terms of what we know as Davis Cup. It's been a home team against an away team, and I think that this is, the one side of things people may say, well, there you go then. It does preserve this kind of Davis Cup that people cherish so much. Others will say, well, yeah, this is what makes us so sad that we're losing the home and away throughout the year. It depends how you're coming at it, doesn't it? I mean, I loved it tonight. It was absolutely fantastic. First of all, we had Andre Rublev beating Roberto Bautista Agut 7-6 in the third, including a 7-0 tiebreak, which was mind-blowing. And then we've had Rafael Nadal equal things up against Karen Khachanov in a really close one, particularly the second set. That Rublev-Bautista Agut match kind of had everything.
It was such a good match, and it was such an easy one for the fans to get into because there were so many swings of momentum. There were lots of breaks, lots of break points, lots of big moments, and it just was absolutely perfect for that atmosphere, which was special at the start, and then it just reached a kind of crescendo towards the end of that third set. And then there was this really strange atmosphere when Bautista Agut lost, couldn't get his racket on a ball in the tiebreak, as you said, Rublev winning at 7-7 love, just cracking winners. And then it was kind of like, is this going to be a problem for Spain? You know, we can't, you know, if Russia win, Spain are fighting for second in their group. You know, they might not go through. And then everyone kind of remembered, oh, hang on a minute, we've got Rafael Nadal. Things might be okay. And I always think in Spain, whenever Real Madrid play, there's an expectancy that they're going to win. You know, Real Madrid fans go to the stadium expecting Real Madrid to win. And I really got that sense with Nadal tonight. It was like, okay, it's fine. We've got Nadal. He will win. And that is an incredible amount of pressure on Nadal.
Yeah.
And yet he just performed so well, like it was any other match. He was so relentless, first ball to last, and I'd like to see more Nadal Khachanov. I think that's a really good matchup. It works really well. They've had some good matches in the past, and this was another one. And yet Nadal just does what Nadal does. 25th win in a row in the Davis Cup. He's only ever lost once to Novak, but not Novak Djokovic, Jiří Novák. in his first ever Davis Cup tie, and then he's won 25 in a row since then. I mean, the man
only ever
the
lost
man
one.
Is extraordinary,
and tonight I saw the first set. I mean, I saw the whole match, but the first set he was like a dog who's just been given meat for the first time in a week. He was just ravenous. It was everything that the O2 wasn't, certainly in the first couple of rounds, group matches he had there. But I just felt when he went out of the O2, although it was sort of a shame on one level for that event, I thought, crikey, this is going to do him the world of good. He's had three matches, he's got progressively better, and now here he is looking fresh and ready to go. And you saw that, the way he burst out of the blocks.
Yeah, this was not possible without what he did at the O2. He played himself kind of out of an injury and into form there. And his tennis is just right where he wants it to be. I mean, you know, let's not forget he ended up beating the eventual champion at the O2. You know, he was playing that well by the end of it. And I just think he's developed his game so much. I just think, you know, his backhand now is almost as good as his forehand at times, and yet his footwork's so good that he's able to get himself as many forehands as possible. He varied his serve right in the end of the tiebreak. He'd been serving out wide the whole match, and then he hit one up the tee and caught Khachanov completely by surprise. Just an amazing kind of sense of the moment and tactical decision under that pressure. He was spellbinding tonight, and there was a really crackling atmosphere. And watching any member, I think, of the big three in front of their home crowd is going to be very special. And certainly that was the case with Nadal. There's such appreciation for him.
Yeah, in the second set, Khachanov really started to get into it with him, didn't he? He took him on. He went toe-to-toe. And I did feel that Nadal was starting to look a little tight at the end there because, as you say, that enormous pressure. And let's not forget they were 1-0 down. Spain from that first rubber, and it's on him. He's got to produce. And you know, just imagine if that had gone into a third set.
Oh, no.
what time would you have been playing then? They haven't even got the doubles on. It's 17 minutes past midnight in Madrid. The doubles players haven't walked onto the court yet.
Yes, well, we would not be talking now, David.
No, we wouldn't. So anyway, you got the job done, did Nadal. Just a reminder on that Rublev against Bautista Agut match. Rublev was cramping during that match. They played a 47-stroke rally that Rublev was just hammering the ball around, and Bautista Agut wouldn't let it go and ended up winning the rally. I just think that is a fantastic win for Rublev.
I have never watched a Bautista Agut match in which the other person did not end up broken. I remember the Andy Murray one at the start of the year. Then he backed that up by kind of just outlasting John Millman. And now this one, I don't quite know how Rublev managed to play through that cramp. It looked pretty bad, especially on his serve. After he was serving, he was really having to shake out his leg and he looked in a lot of pain. And yet, he obviously just thought, oh, sod rallies, I'm just going to hit winners in the tiebreak. And maybe that tactic kind of worked against Bautista Agut to try and wear him down, because Rublev, it kind of channeled him, single-minded tactic that he needed to adopt.
More announcements in the media centre. Drama here on the Tennis Podcast. You get a little bit of live as well. What else have we had today? We are still waiting for the doubles. We don't even know if it's Nadal, do we, in the doubles?
The last I saw was that it wasn't going to be. But to be honest, I don't know. Your singles players are locked in an hour before the tie starts. But you are allowed to change your doubles lineup.
Yeah. So they've got to be back for another match tomorrow at 6 p.m. So it's pretty full on. Canada are through. They beat the United States 2-0. Just a word on Vasek Pospisil, who has been amazing so far, hasn't he? I mean, he got a great win yesterday. He beat Fabio Fognini yesterday. And then he's gone and beaten Riley Opelka today. That guy who's 7 foot tall and serving missiles. And Pospisil is just so athletic, so good. And Canada look really into this. Shapovalov won his match as well.
Yeah, Pospisil, his career has been really marred by injury, hasn't it? When you see him play like he has done this week so far, you just think, what if, kind of, because he's got a good serve, he's steady from the baseline, and he likes coming forward. I really like watching him play. He's got a really, really nice style. Denis Shapovalov is in a rich vein of form, obviously beating Berrettini yesterday, and now taking out Taylor Fritz, another really good win, someone with a kind of similar-ish ranking. They're looking really good, Canada. Although I must say that tie ended in very weird circumstances, in that Canada announced that the doubles would be Shapovalov against and Auger Aliassime teaming up, kind of Auger Aliassime's first go at this Davis Cup Finals. And then about 15 minutes later, it was announced that they'd actually forfeited the doubles and USA would be winning it 6-love, 6-love. The reason that's been given is because that the players were deemed to be injured, three of the four players. Now, I must say, don't really understand that, given that you've got a squad and you are allowed to change the lineup. Frank Dencevic has basically admitted in his press conference, the Canadian captain, that they did it to preserve more than anything. He says they're not quite able to play what they up to their highest level because they're tired and they want to save them for the rest of the tournament. Now, I get that they want to preserve their players, but does that not bring the integrity into question a little bit, bearing in mind that doubles, the whole point of it is that it counts because sets and games are going to count? Italy really should be fuming about this, because USA get a 6-love, 6-love on their scorecard.
So I'm just trying to work this out. That at the moment, Italy and the US have both lost their matches. So Canada are already through.
Correct.
Does it... When Italy plays against the United States, who goes through? Is it the winner of their...
It will be... Well, whoever wins won't necessarily go through. Both those teams will be playing for one of the two highest ranking
right.
losers, essentially, in the round robin. And they go through to the quarterfinals, two of the teams. But that comes down to sets and games. And this is going to be a big advantage for the US to have a six love on their scorecard. So I'm a bit bamboozled, actually, as to why that has been allowed to happen. Why couldn't they figure out some combination of players that, you know, at least were able to get on court?
Yeah, that's problematic, and we'll have to look a little further into this and ask one or two more questions, because that doesn't sound right to me, as you say, in terms of fairness. So we'll see what Italy have to say about it tomorrow, and also, yeah, I have to ask the question as to where, because I mean, one thing I would say about this kind of competition is things that are put in place at the outset of something brand new like this are probably going to have tweaks made to them, because, and I think that to a large degree has to be expected. For instance, the fact that it's going on with the doubles at this time of night. I mean, I know it's Spain. I know it is the national team, and people are going to hopefully stay around to watch this doubles. But it is ridiculous, really, that at 12:30 in the middle of the night, they're about to start a best-of-three-set doubles match, which could end up at 3:30 in the morning. And it could have been worse if Nadal had gone into a deciding set. So there's a tweak. You know, they're probably going to have to bring the start time forwards. Now, they had to do that with the O2 Arena 10 years ago. When they first started the O2, I think it's fair to say this, because the O2 is a tournament, the ATP Finals, that we hold up as a great example of a very well-run event, and that's what it is. But in the first year, people were missing the tube to get home because it was starting too late, and people were just left stranded having to walk home. This was 2009. And we had that situation with the qualifying where nobody knew who had qualified when Andy Murray was in the group with Juan Martin Del Potro. And even Murray was tweeting from home, have I qualified or not, after the Del Potro match? And everybody was standing around looking around at each other. And I think it changed. I think he failed to qualify by a single game, I think, in the end. And you've got Del Potro, who was playing a knockabout on the court with Carlos Tevez while they worked it out. I mean, it was comical scenes.
Yeah.
And yet, a year later, they'd got a computer system for it that just, you know, a couple of punches of a button, and they'd sorted it all out. You know, then we never have that now, do we? I mean, we know exactly the scenario going into those matches. Okay, they might be a bit tense trying to work out who's qualified and who hasn't, you know, when you're doing it in your head, but usually it's just written down and everybody knows where they are. So these sort of adjustments will need to be made, but I suspect that this is one that really is going to have to be looked at pretty sharpish.
Yeah, and there's an awful lot, it will say an awful lot about the competition if they do spot a error and change it. That, you know, everyone will be able to accept that, and as you said, first edition, not everything is going to be completely smooth, but you know, people will be a lot harsher next year if something like that hasn't been sorted out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This edition of the Tennis Podcast is sponsored by Tennis Channel, and Tennis Channel Plus is the place to watch the French Open. They've got every court live, and you can watch on your phone or your smart TV, both in HD. Matt, this sounds like your kind of thing.
Yeah, there's nothing I like more than watching multiple courts with matches everywhere, dipping in to where there's the latest final set tiebreak or even the latest bit of aggro.
And David, don't worry, you can just watch your favourite court, Suzanne Longlen, all day if you want. But whatever you choose, the French Open promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history.
Do you know, I think in a lot of ways, the French Open is now my favourite slam. It's the strategy of the clay court tennis, the way it challenges players, and particularly now with legends of the game up against a new generation of young players. I cannot wait.
Be there when it happens, with daily live coverage beginning on Monday, May the 20th. Subscribe to Tennis Channel Plus to stream daily coverage of Roland Garros. Use promo code TENNISPOD20 for 20% off your annual subscription.
You mentioned Australia. That's the one tie that's sort of kind of passed me by a little bit. I saw a few points of Alex de Minaur sealing victory for them. They were 2-0 up against Colombia. But Nick Kyrgios played. And when was the last time Nick Kyrgios played a match that we barely even noticed happened? I mean, that's a measure of kind of how much was going on at the same time. But he played.
He played and he won and he served well and it passed me by. Yeah, it was very strange having Nick Kyrgios on court and, you know, not all the eyeballs on him. But the most eye-catching score there is that Piers and Thompson beat Cabal and Farah in the doubles. So that was a 3-0 victory in the end for Australia, which, you know, they play Belgium tomorrow, which will just be a straight shootout to see who goes through.
Right. Well, that'll be very interesting to see. We have earlier in the day as well, there was France playing, and things did not exactly go according to plan for them, did they? I mean, there we were talking about Mahou and Herbert a few days ago, looking utterly unbeatable. I think they'd won 18 sets in a row. And suddenly they were right on the brink today, weren't they?
Yes, I picked them to win the title, and within about half an hour, it looked like they were going to lose to a Nishikori-less Japan. but they did manage to squeak the win in the end. And really, before Spain, this was the story of the day, the France-Japan tie. It was, on the one hand, absolutely everything you would expect and want from Davis Cup. It was the underdogs punching above their weight, making a really good match of it, and 100% passion and commitment from the players, really good matches. And yet, on the other hand, there was barely anyone in the stadium. It was really quite a sorry sight to witness the Marseillaise in an empty stadium. And I asked the French team about this, and look, I said, your last Davis Cup match was played in front of 20,000 in a football stadium. You walked out and, you know, it must have been a quarter full, if that, stadium two, a few hundred people. Did it feel like the same competition even? And how did it feel singing the Marseillaise? And I got a really lovely answer from Pierre-Hugues Hébert, who said, well, it was nice because it was the first time I was able to hear myself singing the Marseillaise. And I was standing next to Nico, as he calls Mo. And, you know, he has a lovely singing voice and I was able to hear him as well and go on his rhythm. So he was kind of making light of the situation. But he was also pointing out something, you know, quite profound, really, that it was a shame.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that hasn't changed is how much the French players still love playing for France. You know, I'm not sure they necessarily agree with the format changes, but they're definitely here to give it an absolute, to give their all. You know, every time they put on their colours, it feels special. And no matter the atmosphere in the stadium, they were, you know, Mo and Herbert were as into it as they were winning the ATP finals for the first time. This was a really big deal for them.
Yeah. And I think from what we've gathered so far, and obviously we haven't seen every team just yet, but it feels like Belgium and France are the two teams' sets of supporters that have taken this change the hardest. I mean, I know Australia did as a team at the time, but they're there and they're playing hard and they're giving it a chance. And as you say, the players are there too. But I mean, France from what we hear, like Belgium, had decided we're boycotting this. We're going to make a stand. We're not going to go. And I mean, whilst I think that's a shame, but I also do understand it. The fact that they love Davis Cup so much and they put so much into those home ties and they travelled, and we saw them in Australia for the Fed Cup, that they never turned it down. And they're the ones that find this the hardest. And I really do understand that. And I think, you know, if that's the stand they want to take, it has to be respected. I kind of hope that in time, when this has had a year of everybody throwing their hearts into it player-wise, and becomes it'll become a better event, you would think, when these tweaks are made, et cetera, et cetera, that maybe the fans will come back into it. Because, I mean, for instance, you know, it's not that far to get to for the French, and I'm sure they would have a huge following were it not for the anger and frustration they feel. You know, I guess that's a wait and see, and maybe they'd say, well, no, we don't feel like that, but that's my hope.
Well, Grosjean was very much urging patience and saying, you know, we do need to give this event a chance. He was not exactly issuing a rallying cry to the French fans, but he was saying, look, I understand your frustration, but we need you. You know, we are giving our all here, and we really would like to have more of you here. It was pretty jarring to see, you know, not many French fans in a stadium, even though they share a border with the country this event being in. And, you know, not many Japanese fans, but many more than there were French fans in that stadium. But yeah, you're definitely right about it. Certain countries have given this format change more criticism than others. There's been a lot of intrigue and curiosity from all sides, and you know, for some, that's come out as excitement. You know, they're really excited about these new changes. I think the US are quite excited about the new format. And for others, it's come out as criticism and skepticism. And that is certainly the case with countries that have a Davis Cup tradition, like Belgium and France. And it comes from that tradition that they've had. But I do think Grosjean spoke well when he said, you know, we're prepared to give this a chance, and I think that's a good message to be sending.
Yeah. Actually, Great Britain were in press conference today, weren't they? The whole team, as well as Leon Smith. Andy Murray, I heard speak in a kind of similar way to how he did a couple of days ago, but he elaborated a bit, didn't he? And yeah, he feels quite adamant, really, a little bit like Grosjean, that give it a shot. And I mean, the British team are expected to have pretty decent backing tomorrow.
Yes, they are. I think Stadium 3, which is where Britain are playing against Holland, will be pretty much full, and it will be mainly British support. Yes, I found out in that press conference that I am frozen illiterate, given that the GB players were dropping in lines from Frozen, and I thought something was up when Carl Edmund said fear is our enemy, and Dan Evans was trying his best not to burst out into laughter. But I'll be honest, I thought Edmund was just misquoting the famous Roosevelt. We have nothing, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I thought he's just slightly got that wrong, but then it turns out Murray was talking about let it go, and someone cottoned on that they were dropping in these Frozen references, which I you know, a bit of fun, but I think that joke's a little bit old now.
Well, I'd have picked those up, Matt, with my kids.
You have kids,
I know that song off by heart. If you'd like a rendition, I'm here. No.
Well, your picture on our iTunes suggests that you might be able to sing it.
Yes, if you haven't seen go and have a look at the Apple Podcasts app once you've updated to the new iOS system, which I did today, because I wonder why people kept sending me pictures of my name on the app with a completely different bloke there who is about 25 years younger than me, singing in a what looks like in a band, and looks really cool and has zero grey hair. I've been trying desperately to convince people that it is me, but I've had to admit defeat. So I'm now needing to get it changed. Anyway, I wonder who he is.
I know. Yeah.
Hello, David Law.
I wonder
out
if,
there.
I wonder
the
if,
other one.
I wonder if on his podcast your face appears.
Probably. We've had a Law swap.
Yeah, some sort of terrible mix up.
I hope his name is David Law.
Yeah,
be great.
That would be great. David Law music.
I know another one who's a golfer, and he's my favourite golfer. Yeah. So, anyway, there we are. You didn't expect that, did you, tonight? So, what time do Great Britain play tomorrow? That's at 11 local time, isn't it?
That's at 11, yeah. The other match is on Serbia-Japan, so Novak Djokovic's debut, and Argentina-Germany, and then in the evening, Croatia-Spain, US-Italy, and Belgium-Australia.
Mm. Am I missing any other matches from today? Any other results?
The Kazakhstan beat Holland, which does put a little bit of pressure on GB to make sure that they do beat Holland tomorrow. Surprisingly, Holland lost the doubles, even though they've kind of got a really strong set of doubles players. And Argentina beat Chile in the first match on the main stadium, which wasn't full, but had plenty of noise because there's such passionate sets of fans, and there's a lot of them living in Madrid, I think.
It's interesting how that works, isn't it? Because yesterday there was a tie which had a lot of people in, but I didn't hear an awful lot of noise.
Mm.
And then this one, I watched quite a bit of one of the matches in Chile against Argentina, and I thought, crikey, that sounds like Davis Cup. And then they panned around, and it actually was, you know, there weren't that many people, but they were making a right old din. And, you know, that's what you want, isn't it? As you say, maybe the smaller stadium would be more beneficial for a match like that particular one.
Yeah, well, Diego Schwartzman said it was one of the best matches he's ever played in his career, which I can neither confirm nor deny having, you know, my attention was elsewhere when he was playing.
Yes.
But Nicolas Jarry lost for Chile, and I looked up his record. He has not won a match, Nicolas Jarry, since July, when he won the title in, is it Borstad? Is that how you say it?
That's right.
He won the title, and he's not won a match since, which is pretty alarming. You know, 2018 Laver Cup, Nicolas Jarry, and he can't even win a match.
Oh, dear. Okay, poor old Nicholas.
Yeah.
Not to worry. Okay, well, the news everybody's all been waiting for is I've been looking up Clutch from yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know, it's absolutely vital that we try to work out whether it is actually a word that should be, that is befitting the tennis podcast. And I've been looking it up. So here's a few definitions. Dictionary.com says clutch means to grip or hold tightly or firmly.
That is a definition.
Is that what you meant?
That is a definition.
That's not the one you had in mind?
No. Let's try another dictionary.
Right, okay. I've got the Oxford English Dictionary here. And this one says it's a... And there are several definitions, proper ones. And then there's another one that says... North American English referring to or performing as an important moment that will decide the result of a game or competition.
That's the one.
I've also consulted the Urban Dictionary, obviously, and it says to perform under pressure.
Yes. And we like
this
the Urban
one,
Dictionary, don't we, David?
Well, this one's got 4,500 thumbs up and 2,099 thumbs down.
So that's a win. It even won pole vault.
I was going to say, I've also obviously gone to the authority that is pole vault on Twitter, at Tennis Podcast, where I've asked your opinions, and I think it's about 70% in favour at the moment.
I asked Twitter, and I think the first, I said, is it an acceptable term? And I think the first response I got was yes, and the second was no. And I was thinking, oh, thanks, Twitter, helpful as always. You know,
I was quite enjoying some of the responses. One or two people just saying, yes, it is a word, but I hate hearing it every time. And somebody actually wrote, I listen to your podcast for its Britishness. I do not want to hear that word.
Yes. I mean, I stand by it as a legitimate term, but I can see that it's maybe not a tennis podcast term. So I will I will try to rein it, you know, rein it in.
I don't know, actually, Matt. You've got 70% of the listenership on your side at the moment, sadly. You know, I think we might have to let it go. We would ask Catherine Whittaker, but she's not here tonight. She's been waylaid elsewhere. However, she has just been in touch, so we know she's okay, I'm happy to say. And it's important that she is, because tomorrow I need to tell her about something that Vern Jones has sent me. He said, "Who needs Davis Cup? The Cheese World Cup is on in France at the moment."
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Catherine, perhaps that's what Catherine's secretly been doing.
Yeah, I think so.
Running
it's amazing.
That.
It's on Twitter. And somebody, I mean, this is like the ultimate tennis podcast feature. Somebody is running a pole vault competition, a World Cup, rating a cheese against another cheese. So Roquefort beat Camembert 60-40 tonight.
This sounds like the French equivalent of what Richard Osman does on Twitter with his World Cups of crisps and sweets and films and things.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh.
So there we are. Ah, you're giving me another feature idea now, Matt. Well done. Okay, well, look, I would say go to bed, but the doubles hasn't... Has the doubles actually got on court yet? I don't think it has.
Surely it must have done by now. Yes, it has.
Well, why is Eurosport not showing it? Eurosport should still showing Colombia against Australia at the moment in the doubles.
Oh, well, it is. I can live score, soon to be out of date. It is 2-all, 15-40. The Spaniards, which is Granollers and Lopez, with 2 break points.
Okay, right. Oh, it's all very interesting. Okay, well, that's going to be something we can update you on tomorrow, along with their other match here on the Tennis Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. And Matt, go and get to bed when you can, and we'll see you again in about 8 hours. You'll be there again. This has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com, with our mascot Rio with a Y. We'll be back every day of the Davis Cup finals by Rakuten. If you want to go to the Davis Cup, by the way, we've still got our 15% off code. If you go to daviscupfinals.com, put in the code TTP Davis Cup Finals and you can get 15% off your tickets. If you are going, you've already got tickets, have a great time, and we'll be seeing you tomorrow. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.